You don't use the social media, right?
No.
At all? Like, you've never, you're unfamiliar with it.
I know what it is.
Have you seen, let me try that again. Have you seen these ads on the social media that are targeted directly to you with the funky t-shirts? Like, they're like, it'll be a t-shirt saying like, the number one Adam in all of Steveston, BC.
No, I haven't seen this.
Okay, then this is just going to go south quickly then.
But maybe you're talking to the internet, so maybe other people have seen it.
No one else has seen the Adam and Steveston shirts. I don't understand. You don't get it, Adam. What they do is they spy on you through your video camera, and then they advertise a shirt just for you, as if you would wear that.
Right.
What if there's two Adams in Steveston with that shirt? Do you guys have to just duke it out? Maybe. To the death.
That's what I want my shirt to say.
All right. Kind of a weak ending there. Hello and welcome to episode 513 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
I tried to change it up a little bit there, Adam. Did it sound a little bit like I made the opening my own?
No.
Okay, I did in my head because I was in the car this morning with my kids, and they were talking about, hey Dad, remember when Sarah did the intro a couple weeks ago, and then she said Tübingen in Germany, and they thought that was great. And so I said, yeah, how did it go? So I just punched it up on my phone, and we had a good listen, and they just laughed. They thought it nice. Was the best. Yeah.
So they're like, the show needs more Sarah. Is that what they're saying?
It doesn't need less Sarah, that's for sure. And so anyway,
the kid audience demands more Sarah botching German town names. Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
So what we did was, and they said, well, how does it really go, Dad? You say, and so I said, well, here, just listen to last week's. And so we did the intro. I forget whatever the cold open was, and then I played the intro, and they thought that was great. So I had them in the back seat give their own version of it. Like, and I said, try to have fun with it. Like, make it your own. Do it a little bit different each time. Like, put the emphasis on the wrong syllable if you want. Have fun. And Sam was just like, yeah, I can't do that.
Okay.
I can't do it, Dad. So I did. I gave him five different readings.
What about Emily? Did she
run? No. She did one, and it was like, I'm moving on, Dad. I don't dance, okay?
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I don't do dishes, and I'm not just going to do what you tell me.
Okay.
So there you go. That was our car ride. Amazon. You need stuff to listen to in the car. You probably buy it on Amazon. That was like the worst. If you need a good segue, get it on Amazon. That's what I probably should have said.
Right.
Don't have a good segue for that.
Sure.
I bought nothing this week.
Yeah, me either. I don't think I bought anything.
Just saying, like, they're probably worried. Like, Bezos is just frantic. Like, oh no. This whole thing's coming crashing down.
Yeah.
Average isn't buying clamps for the workshop. Oh no.
Just seeing how long we could pause and see.
Yeah, I want to see. I was in my head. I was like, yep, first one that talks a loser. One nothing me.
Darn
yeah.
It.
You didn't know that rule? Oh, yeah, that's the old 513 rule. Episode 513.
The one that got away from us.
Mm-hmm. No. The one that you lost.
Right.
All right. What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Nothing. No. There's really nothing going on.
Guess
what? I mean, the world is crumbling around us here. I imagine it's the same where you are. Just
is it crumbling? It's not crumbling.
Well, it's crumbling a little bit. I think, I don't really, like I said, I don't watch a whole lot of news or any. And mm-hmm. I don't, that's not true. I'll glance at the news. It's very occasional. And I don't read social media. So I get most of my information off of I'm talking about the pandemic and updates and whatnot. So the sky is falling. So once in a while I will check the CDC website for updates, just, you know, basically the information.
CBC or CDC?
CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
But that's in America. Aren't you worried more so about...
They have it for everywhere. Because, I mean, okay. I check the CDCs all over the place. So they have, you know, one for British Columbia. So it's basically just showing you the numbers. So there's no you know, narrative to it. Just here's the numbers. It'll break it down into however you want to break it down, by region, by hospitalizations, by the last whatever number of days. So I just kind of glance at that probably every second or third day, just to kind of see, because I work in a profession where you're always talking to people. So I do like to be somewhat informed, but I don't want to bring my bias to any conversation. I just kind of want to know, I want to know the information that's out there. So just in my head, I know, right? So I mm-hmm. glance at that. That's about it. And, you know, so in certain parts of British Columbia, like it is, I'm sure, in most of the world, there's kind of like, you know, hot spots where there's a lot more cases and but they don't generally on the news, you know, report it like that. Like the BC News right. reports, oh no, like there's X number of cases. And
the call is coming from in the house.
Yeah. So I look at where we are, we're doing very well in our neck of the woods, very well. Yeah. We've also been pretty conservative and I think everyone's complying for the most part. So yeah, no panic here, but yeah, it's there's definitely sort of an increased agitation rate, I would say, amongst the community.
I think everyone is a little bit spooked on this one, and I wouldn't say over here, like over here, we just, hey, guess what? We got another lockdown here. We just announced yesterday.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
In Germany, France, and they're having they're having a pretty decent sized blow up compared. I don't know what the numbers really mean. Our numbers are much, much higher than they have been. Compared to a lot of places in the world, they're not that high, but
right.
they're trying high to avoid
relative
that.
And they're high relative to what they were, say, 2 months ago.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Which, and that's the same,
to I be think, expected,
pretty,
though.
Yeah. And pretty much everywhere, right? I think that can be sort of said. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what, the lockdown here, it's kind of a lockdown light. I think they're trying to call it that. Is schools are still open. Like they're not going to mess with that. And at least for now, for the next 4 weeks. So the lockdown light, the idea is it's going to be 4 weeks. It's going to be November. Starting on Monday, it's going to be the rest of November. And so mostly it's common sense stuff that the messaging here is really, I find to be excellent. What Angela Merkel does gets on and talks about some things that make some sense, like restaurants are closed, movie theaters, those sorts of things. The idea is that they're calling this a wave breaker, because it's swelling up. They're having trouble keeping up with the contact tracing.
Right.
That's the big issue. So far, you know, hospitalizations aren't really a problem so far. I mean, obviously they're anticipating if infections go, you know, skyrocket, then that, you know, that's what's going to follow. That's the echo effect of what's going to follow, I assume, but it wasn't an issue the first time in Germany, and I don't expect it to be a real issue now. However, they would like to keep up contact tracing, and that's what the issue is. So they're getting like around 15,000 new cases a day. In Germany was what I think what happened yesterday, and so that's much higher than they were hoping for.
Yeah.
So for now, the basic sort of rules in place, like you're allowed to have people over to your house, maximum one family, and like I think 10 people, and so like maximum one family come to your house, two families total, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the same here. They're saying 6 people though, in addition to your own immediate family.
Okay, but
that's the number they've put on it here. So
okay, but these all have to come from the same household here. That's the idea.
Yeah, and I think that's the same idea here. It's not, oh, hey, bring, you know, 6 different people from different households.
Right.
The idea is the same. Yeah. Now, right. I don't know if anybody is going to get fined or anything, like if they don't comply with this, but that's certainly been the recommendation. I don't know, like you say, how far that extends. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do that here. I know some people who did get some serious fines the first time around in April, whenever that happened. They got a massive fine, like €25,000 fine for having a party.
Yeah.
Although the rules were pretty clear, don't have parties, and they had a party. Right. So... And this was like an inside thing. No, the problem is my son's soccer was canceled for November, which is too bad. I mean, they actually practice outside, so I don't really think it's an issue. Like these same kids, it's all the kids he goes to school with.
Right.
Yet, you know, that's inside. Now they're outside for an hour twice a week, and that got canceled. So I'm not thrilled about that. But for 4 weeks, we can suck it up and see and. You know, hopefully this is the wave breaker and we can kind of get this under control. Because my opinion, and I'm not a doctor, I just kind of follow the logic, as I've been saying for a couple months, that, yeah, I anticipated that the fall and into the winter is going to be dark. It's going to be not the funnest time. So, you know, once we get through that, I do believe that we are past the halfway point by quite a ways now. In this thing, I think once the spring rolls around, you're going to see the real light at the end of the tunnel, and it's going to be very, very positive. So I have no facts to back that up. I haven't worked with the CDC. I'm just following. No, I'm not even just being a pie in the sky positive kind of guy. I'm just kind of looking at the logic behind it and the patterns and what's going on. And you know, like for example, I talked to a friend of mine in Sydney, Australia. You know, and they're pretty much business as usual down there. Like they freak out when they get, you know, 15 cases a day.
Right.
Because it's pretty much, but they did a serious lockdown. Like Melbourne had a pretty massive lockdown for 111 days or something like that. Sydney, not so much. But it also is their summer. Keep that in mind.
Right.
You know, people are outside. It's just, you're not having that indoor contact. And so, yeah, so his deal is he can't leave. He's not allowed to leave Australia, though. You can go there. Like, you could actually go there, I think, tomorrow. You probably need a visa, I'll be honest with you. So tomorrow is ambitious, Adam. Don't head to the airport.
Right.
You can go, but you have a two-week quarantine.
Right.
That you sit in a hotel room for 2 weeks until you get, and then you get tested, and then you can go. And go live your life. That's fine. He can't leave because they don't want to have to repatriate him home if he's sick or worse.
Gotcha.
So anyways, point being, I think, you know, once the spring rolls around, the weather will start getting better. And it's not going to go away like, you know, like they have, other people have said, oh, it's just going to magically go away. No, there's going to be, you know, we're going to battle this. There's going to be other factors that are involved, whether it's a vaccine that helps, something won't be the magic bullet, but it's going to help, in my opinion, and we're going to be just fine. So everybody hang in there. This world isn't crumbling around you, Adam.
Okay, thank you for the pick.
Yes, yeah. We have had better times, that's for sure.
Right.
However, we're gonna get through this, no problem.
Okay, good to hear. I'm glad. I definitely feel better now.
I don't know. I think you're lying, but...
No, you have had an amazing calming influence on me today.
Well, the other good news is I got a job.
Oh, wow.
The job, because obviously I lost jobs because of the COVID. And but one of my clients, the one that I fly to Vancouver for every year, I do a project for them. I thought that, like, I do two for them every year, and one got canceled early in September. And that one's done. But the one for December, I thought was done. Got a call, and no, they still want to do it.
Okay.
Now it's going to be different. I'm not getting on a plane this year.
Right, to be Zoom recordings.
It'll be something like that. This is going to be a pretty big challenge. Like, I have to come up with like a 15-minute movie, like a short film, and it's to do with there'll be like, I think, 12 people that I'm dealing with. Separately, they're not together. They're kind of quarantining in Vancouver, and we're going to have to get together, write a script, and come up with some sort of an idea that they can all basically film themselves on their iPhones and via Zoom, and, you know, text, like maybe I do screenshots and basically incorporate all sorts of technology into some sort of narrative format, and pump that out for Christmas.
Okay, sounds like fun.
Fun might not be the best word, but
yeah, good challenge.
I'm up for the challenge. It's definitely, I think it's going to be an excellent opportunity, and to try something new, because this it will be very, when you say a challenge, it's going to be extremely challenging to figure out, you know, like a start, beginning, middle, end, and be able to do all this and get them to film it. And one of the questions they asked, like the clients asked, they said, like, hey, are you expecting all this footage to like look the same? No, I'm not.
Right.
We're going to lean into that. I'm going to make that part of the narrative, so we don't have to worry about matching frame rates and right. aspect ratios and everything. So, but the good news is there's no better time for this, because everybody's phone is a, you know, Panavision camera, essentially.
Right.
Like, it's just like the technology is just outstanding. So there you go. All right. And then the last thing, last bit of business. I went to a funeral last week, just after we recorded. My wife's grandmother passed away.
Right. Did you mention this on the last podcast?
No, we talked off the air.
Okay. All right. I knew this information. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah. It was the day after we recorded, and I hadn't been to a funeral in a long time, and definitely weird because of COVID, and not terrible, but it's... And one person in my wife's family who was there, she's battling cancer. And so obviously that takes it up a notch with terms of the COVID and the staying away from her and all the precautions and everything. And anyways, point being, my wife's grandmother was just about to turn 97, which means that just as World War II was beginning, she was turning 16. Mm-hmm. Or just about to turn 16. That is unbelievable to me. About all the different, like the different things that I don't think they had texting back then.
It was really in its infancy.
Yeah, it was early stuff. Early stuff. But just so I was trying to think of and explain to my kids, because my kids are very upset, obviously. But I try to explain to them that, you know, when someone lives to be that old, you know, that's kind of a nice thing, right? Like, you know, let's remember her. Let's not be sad that she's gone. Let's remember her for all the happy times. But then I tried to explain to her all the different, you know, innovations that have happened throughout her lifetime. And like, it's just because they've never had the internet, my kids.
Right.
Same with your kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea that could even be a thing, like imagine that you going off to World War II, and seeing your wife again in 4 years. You yeah. know, that's it. That's crazy. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Way to bring us down.
Okay. Yeah. Plane crashes.
Yeah.
Those are bad.
We don't have to worry because we're never flying anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No. I think
drone,
we'll be... I think
drone,
we'll,
drone crashes.
No, I think we'll be out... we'll be out in Canada next summer, I think.
Okay. All right.
I'm hoping. If there are any airlines left, we might be taking a boat.
Yeah.
Do those still exist?
Yeah, I think so. Leave now. Oh. You should be here by next summer.
Yeah. Cut through the canal. All right. Photo stuff. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just my photo challenge, which I think is super interesting on a number of levels for a photography convo. That's what my kids say. That's the new lingo, convo.
That's not new at all.
Okay. I never, it doesn't make sense to me, because it's how do you short form something that's like, you know, convert to convo. It doesn't.
Yeah. And you add, it's not short when you add letters.
Yeah. It's weird.
I'll have a talk with your kids, the convo. I've heard that before though.
Okay.
You know what you should do? You should play in the song Convoy.
Yeah. That'll confuse them.
Just see if they like it. I bet you they'll like it. I bet you Jack likes it.
Okay. All right. I'll let you know. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your photos now or during your photo challenge?
Well, do you have anything interesting?
Sort of. It's a woodwork update. So you talked about it last week. No, here it comes. Buckle up. I finished my son's dresser, and now I'm to work on the cabinet that has to match, evidently.
Okay.
So I snapped a few photos of that, so you can see the That's the dresser there we talked about. I wasn't quite done last week. Now it's done.
Nice. Looks good. I like
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Yeah. Is okay. that it? Are we done?
That's it. Yeah. You could, like I said last week, you could hit it with a truck, but
yeah, it'll be fine. Looks solid.
It is. It's pretty, and it's pretty
blue,
heavy. Turns
blue,
out.
And I do like the natural wood top. Like that's a hot move.
Ah, yeah. Thanks. That's actually if you look close, you'll see it's a wood frame around a plywood top, which is natural wood, just a veneer. But I wanted something that I don't know if you know this, but little boys can be rather destructive.
Mm.
And so I wanted something that he could lay a beating on and. Okay. It'll hold up, and also structurally speaking, like from, you know, not just itself, but it kind of holds the whole thing together as well. And I think I mentioned last week, I put the top on, no glue, just screws only, so that when he does inevitably ruin it, I can replace it.
Gotcha. Nice.
Hot move.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. Got that done. That's it. Other than that, I shot a couple things. What did we shoot? Nah, my kid's playing. No, not interesting. That's why I didn't include it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well done. Photo challenge. This week is Halloween.
Yeah.
I anticipated my kids dressing up, which they did. That's the thing, is they dressed up for school. They had a Already? Halloween party. Well, no, because this week is off. This week is a vacation for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Why not just take the end of October off? I don't know. So they had a Halloween party last Friday, and that was the day of the funeral. So we had to go to the funeral. So the kids went to school for like an hour in the morning because they wanted to see the costumes and then come home and change and leave. And so I did snap a photo of them before that, but it was just kind of weird. So that wasn't my Halloween photo challenge.
Okay.
So I'll be honest, I was kind of anticipating my kids would have dressed up or, you know, painted their faces as they like to do. My kids love Halloween as much as your kids do, which is weird because it's not really a thing here, but my kids love it. They love painting their faces. My son likes to be a vampire like every year. Every time is vampire, vampire, vampire.
Sure.
And they didn't do it this week. I thought leaning into like a free photo challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was thinking about yours. Your kids probably wouldn't have done that ahead of time either.
No. So they really, yeah. We had to make shift this.
Okay, so let's have a look at yours then.
Okay, so I thought that I was going to do, you know, something just very simple. And then my son sort of has been really into this Cobra Kai show. Mm-hmm. And so didn't really have a costume. I mean, weren't sure what he was going to do for Halloween, because technically here when we're recording this, Halloween will be this weekend. So it hasn't happened yet. But we're not really doing a dress up trick or treating thing, but he will wear something to school. So they'll not Sarah so much in high school, but Jack will wear a costume to school, which will probably be something like this. But we had ordered a shirt, like he's into that Cobra Kai show, the Karate Kid kind of series that they've made 30 years after the original Karate Kid. They've kind of continued that story. I think most people probably have heard of it. It's sort of our demographic. I grew up loving Karate Kid, and so, you know, 1980s movie, and now spring forward to, yeah, I want more Karate Kid. So I've been loving the series, and you know, there's definitely some language and some content, but I've been okay with it, and Jack has watched the whole series, so has Sarah. They have loved it. Jack's probably rewatched some of the episodes, his favorite episodes, you know, 4 or 5 times. So yeah, he is hardcore into it, and he's definitely on Cobra Kai. Like, it's kind of like, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything but for people, but certainly the Cobra Kai, I can see from a kid's perspective, would be in this new series very cool, that side of it. And so it's really probably a divide where, I don't know, in the original Karate Kid, you definitely side with with Daniel and Mr. Miyagi, the Miyagi-Do dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, it's a lot harder to construe, you know, which side you would go to. It's not really like, you know, a dark versus a light. Like, they're very much, you see a lot of the story from Cobra Kai perspective, or from Johnny, is sort of like the anti-hero. Anyways, we got this shirt, ordered it somewhere, because you can't find this sort of shirt, ordered it somewhere online where I found it, and he's been wearing it to school. All the kids love it because everyone's been watching this show, and he's the only one that has a Cobra Kai shirt. So we said, wow. Okay. So we said, let's do a Cobra Kai shot. And Sarah found an old like black headband, and we use that because Johnny wears a headband, and we try to make his hair similar to how some of the old pictures of, I can't remember the name, Johnny Zabkas or something. Is that his name?
Billy Zabka. Okay.
Billy Zabka.
Sorry. William Zabka. I call
William
him Billy.
Zabka. So we try to make his hair.
You didn't like European Vacation?
Was he in that?
Why else would I bring it up?
Yeah,
Adam?
yeah, that's right.
Just one of the guys?
Yeah, I totally remember that. Okay. So anyway, so we did that photo with a lot of the same elements that I did my smoke machine photo last time. But when I was setting it up, I thought, I didn't know if I was going to use the smoke machine or not. So what I thought was interesting was I did kind of three versions. It was shot on a black, like just one of those black muslin fabric kind of backdrops. So this is done inside. And so I put three photos in. I put the photo of just the black background. So it's black on black with just, no gels on the lights. So I have sort of a three light setup. I have two kind of lights from in the back. Initially, Sarah's holding one of them and she was going to use it to light the eventual smoke, but she's just holding a flash camera left and behind. Then I got one up on a light stand, camera right and high, kind of aiming down, which is sort of the hair light and sort of a rim light. And then I have the big soft box as the key light. So that was the general setup for.
Wait, is this smoke in the house?
Yeah, this is smoke in the house. I did unplug the smoke detector. So that was
right.
And I did this with like behind where the big black fabric sheet is hanging. I have an open sliding glass window, like fully ajar, so that some of the smoke will escape out through the big sliding glass door. But yes, this is in the house. So I did the black on black photo first, and then I did one with the gel. So then I gelled the both lights blue, and so you can see, you know, the difference between
both backlights.
Both backlights are blue, different shades of blue, one darker, one lighter. Back right is a darker blue and then a lighter blue, just kind of gives kind of a cool kind of gradient and creates separation on the subject to the background. So just the black background with the blue gels, and then the front light is not gelled. So that's a cool effect. I like that. The black on black, I don't particularly like. Like if I look at that photo, I'm like, it's fine. But it's kind
of
like
it's like day one. It's like your first day of using flash.
Yeah, and it just there's not enough separation. There's some separation from the background, but I just it looks generic. It looks like, I don't know, cookie cutter. Like it looks like a file where you've just added a black background. You've cut them out from some other background and you've put them onto a black background. And so I don't love it. And then I go to the blue and then I'm like, oh, I like that. Like you almost get, just even without the smoke, you almost get a smoky effect just because of the hot spots from the blue light. So I really do like just the blue.
And is that lens flare happening?
Yeah, a little bit of lens flare because the lights are kind of aimed directly towards the camera. And Sarah's freewheeling the one on the left, so she probably is aiming it closer to the camera. But yeah, just a little bit of flare, but I really like that. That would have been my go-to had I not used the smoke machine. And I mean, just from a lighting standpoint, you know, as far as like tips, the back lights are gelled. And in that blue photo, they are probably 1/64th power, between 1/32nd and 1/64th, like probably a notch or two in between. Mm-hmm. And they are basically relatively close to the subject, maybe 6-7 feet away from the subject. So when you're tinkering with black on black, like it's a fine line to how bright you make those you know, backlights, because you want to separate, you want some of those blue hints, or in the case of a different color, but you don't want it to also be overpowering the image. You want it to be subtle. And so I find that you got to go pretty low, even with gels, which knock down the power of your flash significantly. But you got to go pretty low, especially in a small space. Like, I'm shooting this in my living room, so you can't get those lights that far away. Right. So yeah, just a hint, really low power on those flashes for the rims. And then you can see, like, my actual photo challenge with the smoke, you know, like, just how cool that light looks, once it's lit up with flashes, like that smoky with the black. And I mean, this is kind of what I was going for last week, but I was doing it on my own, and I had Sarah literally hold the smoke machine and sort of target where I wanted that smoke to go, rather than hoping for it to kind of waft into the right area. So you don't have wind, mm-hmm. you're in your living room, but I had her hold it at about his shoulder high. And so on the camera left, where you can see, like, really that brighter white smoke, like, that's basically how close it was to the background as she's spraying it in behind him. And so I found that, you know, with her hand holding a flash and her ability to kind of position, like, we put it on like the edge of the couch, like the smoke machine, to balance it at the right level. And then her triggering that there, you have just a lot more control over what your final image looks like. So, all in, like, last week's shot of me, like the sort of selfie I had my wife take, was inspiring enough for me to do a redo. And cause I'm not going to do anything with the photo of me, but I do like having the yearly Halloween photo. And yeah. So I enjoyed doing this, and I even though I like the blue with no smoke, I do like the smoke better. Smoke makes things better.
Always yes. That was what Du Maurier used to say.
Yeah.
Why did I pick a Canadian brand? I could have picked an American. Marlboro.
Marlboro, yeah.
Come on, but yeah, Du Maurier. Good one, Al.
Yeah.
Hey, pack of red apples. Smoke machine way better. Definitely adds to this. Do you have, like, is there Halloween party at school tomorrow? Probably
no party. Like, again, I don't think they're not allowed to bring food or all the stuff that they would traditionally do. Like, often, would bake cupcakes and all that.
Bobbing for apples. Yeah. Stuff like that.
So there's none of that. So it's basically just within their class, they're going to wear costumes. And so I think that's all. Often I think, you know, in elementary schools, they would do some kind of assembly, or especially for the younger kids, like the kindergartens and grade ones, they'd kind of parade them down the hall. So they all get to wear their costumes and shit. So there'll be none of that. It'll be this cohort systems with their costumes, but no shared treats or anything like that. So I'm sure they'll do within their classes Halloween type activities. Everyone's challenge this year is to find fun ways to kind of, you know, make it
take
fun.
Take everyone's mind off this.
Yeah. And make it fun for their kids in a way that still is complying to all the new kind of restrictions.
That's what I was actually talking to my wife about today, is that, you know, our kids, like I said, they love Halloween, which is crazy over here. So if for them, with Halloween being essentially not existing here, more so because of the pandemic right now, but also in general, like it happens, but not like it does in Canada. If my kids were the age they are now, like 6 and 9 in Canada, I'd be devastated if there was no Halloween. Like, I think back to our Halloween, how it was when we were kids. I don't know how it was in Ontario, but it was a big, big deal when you were a little kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and the neighborhood was packed, and all the parents knew each other, and everyone, the parents didn't wear costumes, which is kind of different now. A lot of them wear costumes, which is weird. Back then, they all dressed up as parents who didn't have whiskey in their coffee, but they weren't fooling anybody. So anyway, my what I was going to say is that, if you have time, what I would probably do is go get a bunch of these printed, just somewhere cheap, and, have Jack just sign them all and hand them out at Halloween tomorrow. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Cobra Kai, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. Yeah. And just Jack. Great, great Halloween present.
Yeah.
Yeah. He must love this though.
Yeah, he again.
He doesn't care. He doesn't even care.
He doesn't care. Yeah.
No.
I was trying to show. He's like, I saw it last night. I'm like, oh, but I put the Cobra Kai like logo on it, and he's like, Dad, I don't care. That's literally the words that came out of his mouth. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think I probably would have had to pay like $30 for this at Universal Studios for a thing that was like 1/10 the quality.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it broke my heart, but at the same time, I'm like, completely understand. Yeah.
I do understand. However, I have like myself on the cover of a sport magazine, not even Sports Illustrated, like sport magazine from when I was a kid and we were in Knott's Berry Farm.
Sure. Yeah.
And even then, like you could choose, you could either be Dodgers or A's. That was the two like hats they had or helmets they had or whatever it was. And you could be on the cover, you know, and it was like $25 or something. Oh, like
and
that.
They still had that sort of thing. Like, I mean, yeah, at Disneyland. And I mean, all that still exists. I guess maybe some people still do it. And it's sort of as a joke, but yeah, I know it's, I look at it and I'm like, oh man, like it is cool, but it's more cool to retro nerds like us that sort of, can again, look back at what that was and how that was sort of a very unique kind of thing that nobody could do. And now it's like, right. My dad knows how to do that stuff. Whatever.
Yeah. I did it on my iPhone earlier today.
Yeah.
So there's that. So, all right, let's have a look at mine. I didn't put nearly the effort in. I wanted to go with the snapshot because I haven't submitted like a regular snapshot in quite some time, if I remember correctly. And so we did pumpkins yesterday, and my kids were very excited about doing the Jack O'Lanterns. Mm-hmm. And this year we decided to bring out the drill and just take it up a notch. I was going to bring the Dremel tool out, but I thought that's going to make a mess in the house, right?
I don't know.
Haven't you ever used? I thought you were a Dremel guy.
I don't know. I don't know what any of it is.
Okay, the little tool it spins around fast and you lose.
Oh,
line.
I do know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did it like this. Like I did a SpongeBob one year where you needed like I needed to poke like I don't know 80 holes to like you outline the SpongeBob and then SpongeBob is very porous. And so you have a lot of holes. And so I just used the regular sort of drill bit. And then I just did a lot of this. Looks like what Sam was doing.
Yeah, that's what that was his move. So we cut out, he cut out the eyes and drilled the nose. And I did the mouth for him because it was pretty intricate. And then he's like, yeah, I'm just going to drill a bunch of different size holes in this pumpkin, Dad. And he did, and he loved it. And you know, and of course my wife was like, oh, be careful. And I was like, it's a drill. What are you going to do with it? You can't hurt yourself with a drill, can you?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure you could.
If you try. Yeah, if you try.
You'd have to try to.
You're likely to hurt your sister with it. That's probably what's going to happen. So,
yeah,
go nuts. And so that was it. So this was, as you can imagine, this was the X100, the go-to camera for this situation. Really, though, the things that I like the
wide
best
open,
about
though,
it.
Right? Like, it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, it was an F2.
Yeah.
One of the things that I just love about this camera, when I'm actually having a much better appreciation for it on the new computer, by the way, the resolution on the new iMac is, as you know, it's outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have a real appreciation for how amazing the glass is on that X100 and what clear photos it takes.
Okay.
Challenge over.
Yes.
Okay. Topic this week. This one is probably could be short. It could be long. Depends on how much you have to say about it. I didn't spring it on Adam ahead of time.
Okay.
It was something I was thinking about in the car the other day about the different sort of approach to being creative. And there's two. And when you are creating something, anything. There are, I mean, you can divide it into two separate categories. And it's kind of funny because you did it a little bit in your challenge photo this week.
Okay.
Well, one more than the other, in my opinion. That's not true. You did both. Okay, so here's the deal. We talk about what's been our tagline at the end of the show for almost a decade now. It is make better photos.
Oh, I thought I was going to get to answer. You answered your own question.
Yeah, just for time. Okay. I knew it would take you 3-4 guesses because usually you're pretty drunk by the end of the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but why I've always said I'm very specific about it and make better photos instead of take better photos. Right.
Right.
So have you ever considered your creative process and in these terms, is your process additive or subtractive?
Never thought about it.
You're gonna.
Okay.
Like starting right now.
Okay.
I'll explain a little bit about the difference.
Sure, go for it.
Now, when it comes to anything creative at all, there are two different ways to do this. Now, an additive would be like, for example, a painter. A painter gets a blank canvas and starts to add colors and like different tones and textures and whatever a painter does. This isn't the Two Hosers painting show, so you've come to the wrong place.
Gotcha.
But a painter adds to that canvas.
Right.
Whereas, let's say a sculptor, someone making something out of marble, tends to subtract and leave leave the art versus adding the art.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I find both very, very useful. Now, the way I thought about it is that for me, it's when I am creating a video or film project. When I, specifically in the editing process, there are times where, like, I'm going to go and build a scene. I'll start with nothing and just start adding pieces until that scene is built.
Right.
Other times I'll throw all the footage down that I know I have and I'll start subtracting and pulling out the things I don't need until I have what I want.
Okay.
Okay. Now, oftentimes I'll do the same, I'll do both in the same video. Like I'll start out by adding everything I want, building it up, and then slowly shaving it down and subtracting it. Like that's a refining way, mm-hmm. Like a refining tool, which is always there. But sometimes I don't even start with the additive. I just huck it. Well, I guess you have to add it technically, but usually it's a big, just dump it all in there and then start whittling away. How do you shoot photos?
I think both. Given the photo challenge for this week, it was definitely additive. I mean, that was the whole, you know, discussion we had about starting with the black. Here's what it looks like, you know, with these lights. And then, okay, I'm going to gel it. No, and then see what it looks like with the gels. And then, oh, I'm going to, you know, add the smoke, see what it looks like with the smoke. Now, after I'm done and I have the different versions, I mean, I might decide partway through the process that, I didn't like the smoke, and then I, you know, fall somewhere in the middle. But generally mm-hmm. speaking, the especially when we're dealing with lighting, I find the process is generally additive. Here's how it looks with one light. Here's how it looks with two lights. In my head, I generally have sort of the pre-visualized version that I want to get, but it isn't always the best version. Sometimes along the way, I do find that I have the version I like is actually not the one that has added all the pieces. It's better when I've only added some. But the mm-hmm. the general workflow is additive, and then sometimes where I wind up involves some subtractive.
And I thought that was kind of funny because in this image, like, you start by subtracting. The fact, like, that you said, I have a black background. Well, you don't actually have a black background. You don't see your background. The idea between that muslin background is that it just basically subtracts everything.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think about it in those terms. It was still an element I needed to add. Like, it wasn't there.
Yes.
I had to. So yeah, I guess it depends on how you're kind of defining additive. Yeah.
That's your start. You're subtracting the background, but then you're giving yourself a blank slate and you're building from there. So I would classify this 100% as an additive photo, as that you're building it up step by step and adding pieces. Now, are there times when you are sort of subtractive?
For sure.
For example?
Well, I guess anytime you kind of like just use your aperture to blur out the background because you've got distracting elements that you don't want in your image, which I think all of us as photographers do that all the time. Like that's just part of like, oh, that's ugly. I'm going to get rid of that. So that's the subtractive part that is a part of all of my photos that, you know, don't involve some sort of set background. I'm going to generally try to subtract it, whether it's by changing my vantage point or whether it's by changing my aperture. I'm always kind of, you know, subtracting the elements that I don't want in the photo.
What about focal length as well?
Yep. That's part of the same thing.
I guess by changing your perspective and that, yeah, I find that oftentimes, like when I'm shooting outside, that's kind of what I'll pull in tight to subtract all the surroundings.
Right.
And then when you get into Photoshop, now we have, you know, not now, for the last 20 plus years, we've had these tools. What about cropping? Like cropping is a form of subtracting.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And cloning, do that a lot.
Yeah, cloning things out, removing objects, stuff like that. This content-aware fill is an excellent way to subtract. Generally, I've only ever used that to subtract things. I don't ever add a boat in the background of my pictures. I'm basically pulling things out.
Right.
What about with light? Can you subtract light, though? Besides the physical part of actually turning that light off or pulling it out of there...
Yeah, knocking it down by using, you know, your ISO, like so oftentimes. Like the photo I shot of Jack, I've knocked the ambient light down in the room. I don't have all the lights off. I've just knocked the ambient light down to the point where it's not seen and then, again, start adding things back in.
Or if you're going to add a flag or a cookie or something like that, sure. or a gobo, anything, now all of a sudden you're taking light away for effect. So it is a constant adding and subtracting. Which do you prefer? Like, if you're going to go out and take a portrait, now you're going to go outside versus building one in the black background.
Well, the subtracting is probably easier if you have all the elements in place, like being outside. Then I find that generally subtracting would be easier. But again, that's kind of a global statement that doesn't always apply. I'm sure you can find.
I'd push back easier. Against that.
Yeah, it could be either way.
It's not easier, it's more convenient.
Yeah, and I don't know that it, again, I really think of it as one versus the other. I just kind of think of, here's the hand that I'm dealt, what am I trying to achieve, and then how do I get there? I don't think the creative process to me really was ever, I never really thought, okay, let's do this versus this. It's always like a little bit of both, I think. That's where I'm going to land on this. There's always going to be a little bit of a combination, and one isn't preferred. It's just, what do I have to work with here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Conversation's over.
Subtract that last little part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to, I've never really thought about it in photography terms, but I have for a long time, I know about it strictly because of editing and scene building and that sort of construction and deconstruction. I don't know. Is that what you call it? No idea. And to me, it's a lot easier to see there. Most movies start out being additive and then in the later stages are very, very subtractive.
Okay.
Like you shoot most movies. It's very rare that you have to go out and shoot more to add to it. Like you might have to reshoot a scene or something to clarify something, but it's rare that you go, oh man, we're only an hour and 20 minutes. Well, we better go out and shoot a couple more minutes. And that never happens.
Yeah.
You're always shooting fat and then trying to get it down as lean as you can. But the initial thing is building that up so that you have something to subtract from.
Right.
So I urge our listeners to think about their creativity, the way they create photos, because you are making photos, not taking them. Think about the way you do it and think about which you prefer, which you do more often. Are you subtracting or adding? And which you prefer. And whichever one, if you're not adding, go and try it. Go and try that method or the opposite. Done.
Great.
Challenge, photo challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is surprise me.
Okay.
So Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll check that out next week. It'll be no excuses for being late next week.
Okay.
Because unless things change schedule-wise, we're recording on November the 5th.
Lots of
that's
time.
That is 5 days after the deadline of Oct 31.
Okay. Well, can't wait.
P.S. I don't know if you've been looking. You actually can look now that you're back on the Instagram.
Sort of, yeah.
There's quite a few submissions.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, but that doesn't mean everybody stops submitting because should still submit. Yeah.
No. And we talked last week. I just happened to catch this. I haven't had much time lately, so I haven't done any deep dives on the Instagram, but I did breeze through. John, we said last week, buy a fog machine. Okay. That was our advice.
Yeah.
He did. Bought one this week.
Yes.
Took a great photo. So check it out on I think it's his submission for the monthly challenge.
John, if not, what?
Oh, John Brehm. Brehm?
Okay.
Brehm.
Yeah.
Brehm.
All right.
So check him out. It's a very cool photo. And I think he likes his new fog machine, courtesy of your suggestion.
Awesome.
There you go. That's it. Websites. Adam, where can people... No. Come on. We're still going to do that part?
Don't do it. I keep getting emails from GoDaddy saying, hey, when are you renewing? Well, soon it's going to disappear forever. I'm like, I'm just curious how long these threats will go on before they actually completely
at some
cancel
point
it. Yeah,
at
2 years
point,
from now, hey, last chance, you can get your stuff back.
No, just after Christmas you'll be knock at the door and there's Danica Patrick and like saying, come on, are you doing this or what?
If that happens, I'm renewing.
Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah. That's what you hold out for.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, eventually that might happen. That'll be adamschwartz.ca. mine, same thing. You can go to alanatridge.com if you want to see how dark my hair used to be in the 90s. Other than that, you can find all the stuff we just talked about at twohosers.com, where you can find all the photos, links, everything. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.